Schön, dass du dir heute 21 Minuten nimmst. Wir leben in einer Zeit voller Lärm, Meinungen, Prognosen, Schlagzeilen. Und mittendrin die Frage, was davon zählt wirklich? 21 Minuten at 21 Nexus versucht genau das herauszufiltern. Keine Kommentare zum Tagesgeschehen, sondern Einblicke in die Gedankenwelt von Menschen, die gestalten. Überzeugungen, Entscheidungen und Haltungen, die langfristig den Unterschied machen. Fokussiert. Auf den Punkt. In 21 Minuten.
In dieser Folge spreche ich mit jemandem, die ich als Architektin des Web3-Netzwerkens beschreiben würde. Alexandra Overgaard, Gründerin und CEO von Thrilled Labs. Sie beschäftigt sich mit einer zentralen, oftmals unterschätzten Frage. Was braucht es, damit im Web3 nicht nur Kontakte entstehen, sondern relevante Verbindungen? Mit Thrilled Labs baut sie genau dafür die Infrastruktur. Ich kenne Alexandra bereits seit einigen Jahren und freue mich sehr auf die Perspektiven, die sie heute mit uns teilt. Noch ein kurzer Hinweis, das Gespräch führen wir auf Englisch. Mein Name ist Boris Jurczyk, ich bin Gründer von 21 Nexus. Herzlich willkommen. Dear Alexandra, welcome to 21 Minutes at 21 Nexus. It's great to have you here. As with all my guests, I try to describe them in one short and precise way. And for you, this is what came to my mind. You are the strategic connection architect. You are working on a question that is often underestimated in Web3. Why do the right people find it so hard to connect? And what I find with Thrilled Labs, you are building exactly the solution for that. And I'm keen on getting to know much more about it. And I'm genuinely curious about your perspective and very much looking forward to our conversation. So, Alexandra, let's start. Could you give us a brief overview of your background, please?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Boris, for the wonderful introduction and welcoming me and Thrilled Labs in your show. Yes, so by education, I am, as you might see from some of the books behind me, I'm actually a social scientist. I studied law. I got also a couple of degrees in political science and started to be interested in crypto from about 2017. So that is like 9 years ago now. I started with investing a little bit back then and shortly after decided that I wanted to work in that industry. For the rest, I've been active for many years as well, alongside all these studies that I pursued as an entrepreneur and working as well as a bartender in bars and restaurants. And also, as I said, been an entrepreneur in that field. And now since a couple of years, I am the founder and CEO of Thrilled Labs. And we are building Web3 networking and event solutions. And we are a Dutch startup trying to make business in Web3 better fundamentally. I am indeed myself from the Netherlands, but I live in Italy.
Yeah. So your background is different than most others in this space, as it is in law and political science. So that's not the most obvious path into Web3. What was the one moment when you thought there's a truly relevant problem here and I want to solve it?
Yeah, I think you're right that not being a technological, you know, person per se, like I never studied coding or how to build tech platforms, or I've never gotten a business degree, for instance, it's kind of like not super obvious that you become a tech founder and do all of this. I think that once I started working professionally in the industry a couple of years ago, working for a wonderful UK blockchain related company a couple of years ago, once again, I saw how difficult it was to really find the right people, regardless of what exactly your role is. So maybe you're looking for investors, or maybe, you know, you're looking for companies to invest in, or maybe you're looking for jobs, or maybe you're looking for a co-founder. Any type of need that you have business-wise, I really realized going to events, you know, talking with investors on calls, searching online for people, I really realized it's kind of like tricky to find the right people. You can find them, but you just need to put a lot of time, work, and effort in it. And I realized that can be done better for people, but also for the industry as a whole. Like, we're globally connected. We're all trying to build, I suppose, kind of like a better future. So I was thinking, if people can find each other in a better and more efficient way that doesn't only ideally, you know, make business relations better for that individual, but also for the industry as an aggregate. So yeah, basically working my prior role, I really realized that there were a lot of inefficiencies. Yeah, I wanted to build a solution for that some years ago now.
Okay, let's take us, please, on your journey. It's a different thing between recognizing a problem and acting on it. As an entrepreneur, there's often doubt, timing, questions, and of course, the need for courage to let go. So what was the moment and how do you manage to move from insight to action?
Huh. I think what you just said, Boris, courage to let go, is very interesting here. We don't have to make this, I think, super, super overly personal. I won't bother you with all the details. But when I started thinking about, you know, building something myself, it was a period where my stepdad got really, really ill and also passed away. And the same happened to my dad when I was in my early 20s. And yeah, it was a kind of like a very, from a personal perspective, tricky period for me a couple of years ago. And it was actually my stepdad who really encouraged me to make something more out of this life and to kind of like, you know, take action and pursue the things that you want to pursue. So based upon basically his encouragement, I decided to quit my job and try to build something myself. I was also included, luckily in an accelerator or incubator built by a German venture capital firm back then. So I think that the courage to let go, I let go of my stepdad, my dad, and some other things, maybe some self-doubt, and things that were holding me back. And I did that also based upon the encouragement of them, as they ultimately let go literally of life. So I was like, okay, if they can go through this illness and, you know, say goodbye to this life, I can definitely try to build something myself. And if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. But at least I tried. I prefer to regret things that I have done than regret things that I haven't done. So I suppose that is part of the story.
So we both have met on a lot of conferences over the last years. So you are one of my earliest network contacts in the space. My experience is the space is full of brilliant people, ideas, and so on. But the right connections, especially on those conferences or wherever, often don't happen. What's your opinion on that? Why is that? And what makes Thrilled Labs different from other networking platforms?
Yeah, that's great. And once again, I'm super grateful to have met you even. I think that I think it's really important to take into account that a lot of networking happens because of apps, right? Or because of purpose outreach to people. And then you create a connection. But some connections also really, really happen randomly, which is something I personally really love. And then you never know what comes out. I go to a lot of events, as you can see from the badges behind me. And I think that the right connections ultimately happen in two places. Oftentimes they happen online, which is normal in kind of like a global industry where people connect with one another from all over the world and try to do business in one way or the other, maybe for a product that you're selling or service or maybe an investment that you're looking to do or are after or job perhaps, but also in real life, right? I do think that it's quite interesting that the in real life touch points, we also met, right, in real life a couple of times, but this in real life touch points are still very, very important for actually being able to close deals and to kind of like establish that trust amongst people. So I would definitely say that apart from that, it's already quite tricky to find the right connections globally because there's so many of us and specifically time and money is limited. on top of that, we have this in real life dimension where in real life touch points are still very important. And we see that specifically during conferences and events. During conferences and events, it can be very tricky to find the right people. For instance, if there is not a networking app, or maybe you don't have enough time, even if there is a networking app, to scroll through all the people. A lot of the connections that happen still happen very randomly, which I love. Like when you're standing, I don't know, in the line for the bathroom or in the elevator, or maybe you meet someone in the airplane, right? It can be anywhere. Yeah, long story short, I think that is the global component. The fact that in real life touch points are still very, very important for kind of like creating trust and closing deals, which is kind of like paradoxical, by the way, if you think about Web3 being meant as kind of like a trustless environment. And then ultimately, a matter of time and space. What makes Thrilled Labs different? We have a networking app ourselves, which is called Thrilled. It's also used by events and conferences. And yeah, it really aims to help people find the right people during events and set up meetings and whatnot. We also have a second product in the making. I won't go into that. But ultimately, I think it's important to build trust and to kind of like still realize that we're both human. A final point that I would try to make here is that compared to a couple of years ago, of course, we see a lot of AI these days, right? A lot of scammers, a lot of social engineering. This is like an additional type of difficulty that came into the whole networking and trust building circle. I think that generally people are tending to be a little bit of more suspicious these days of opportunity. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But definitely all these factors make that it's difficult from time to time to find the right people. A lot can be said about this.
Is your second product still a secret, or do you want to tell a sentence about it?
No, of course. I thank you for asking this. No, it's called Thrilled Events, and it is going to be an event management and ticketing platform. So ultimately, you can imagine it as a web app that allows event organizers to create events, sell tickets, activate participants and sponsors, and fundamentally, yeah, kind of like increase their rate on investments on events and conferences that they are organizing. And it will also be integrated with the Thrilled networking app. But of course, also both products can still work separately. Maybe it's interesting here to say that the Thrilled networking app is free for anyone, mostly individuals. But of course, we are a company, we have investors, and we're looking to raise some more money. So we also need to think from a commercial perspective, how we grow further and really build a big company. And this is part of our attempt in that way.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you.
Let's move on your journey. As an entrepreneur, I'm quite interesting to look a bit into your head and your brain. Yeah. What do you see more clearly today than before you started? Yeah? And what has surprised you most along the way?
Oh, God. I think that there's a lot of things that I thought that turned out to be true and not true. I think maybe an interesting thing here is being a woman in this industry. I have had some doubts from time to time how easy or how hard it is when you hear everything about the numbers, women raising capital and whatnot. I've thought for a little while, also based upon individual comments that I got from time to time from investors, that it was from time to time maybe hard to be taken seriously. But I actually realized that a lot of that is in my mind. I do really think that anything is possible. You just have to work hard and you have to find the right people. And maybe not doubt oneself too much. So that is definitely something that I initially thought was tricky when I started to raise capital as a woman, a non-technical woman in this industry. But I realized that it's very, you know, possible to raise capital and build products and, you know, survive and get visibility and whatnot. So that is definitely something. Another thing is maybe building technical products also here without necessarily being a coder yourself. I think these days it's very, very cool to find talent and people from all over the globe that can help you build, you know, your company or become a partner in your enterprise. And even if you lack certain skills, it doesn't mean that you can't execute upon your dreams and upon the things that you're looking to build. You just need to find the right people, also here, the right connections, the right, you know, humans to build with. And then honestly, the sky's the limit. A final thing I would maybe add here is, as a lawyer and maybe also political scientist, you know, you analyze things, you think in risks, like what can go wrong in a certain scenario. As an entrepreneur, rather, I do try to exclude systemic risks for the company. Of course, that is very, very important. But I do try to say yes to many things. I've done lots of crazy things, sleeping on airports, going somewhere for a day, you know, things that I thought were not possible or even kind of like crazy to do. But if you say more yes to things rather than no, like a lot of doors can open. Of course, you need to be careful, don't get me wrong. But just say more yes to things. And then crazy things happen that are fun and that you can look back on later and think, ah, I did that. So yeah, those are a couple of the points.
Yeah, that's a very cool lesson, I think. Just say more yes than no. Coming to the next year, if you had one wish for the next 12 months, what would need to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if we're looking at Thrilled Labs itself, I would love to raise a little bit more capital and bring our products to market and grow and, you know, all these things that you're hoping for your own company as well as for your team and for your investors. I think that what is maybe interesting to see in the space as a whole, I hope that there is going to be a continuous kind of like cycle where we see regulatory clarity also coming from the US. I think that is quite important. Of course, what slightly worries me is the current, what you can say, bear market that we're in. Not necessarily because, you know, I hold a portfolio since many years, but mostly because, of course, in bear markets, a lot of less money trickles down to companies like me, to other people in the industry. Some of them may be losing their jobs, and that is definitely, you know, not great. So I would love to see an end to the bear market. And yeah, I'm quite confident that it will towards the end of this year, hopefully, and that we can keep building and keep growing. I think as an industry, we're taking a very, very interesting direction now where we're materializing, where we become more global and connected and really are standing up. So yes, I think it will remain very, very interesting to observe where we're going as an industry. And there are no like specific hopes or things that I want to change per se. I don't really tend to hope things. I tend to kind of like just work for them and try to achieve them myself rather than that I kind of like keep hoping for things, if I can put it like that.
Okay, that's a very interesting insight. And the one question, if you are thinking of founding your own enterprise or anything like that, so for many listeners, perhaps it's the most important one of this podcast series. The question is, if someone is listening who is facing a similar challenge or considering taking the leap into entrepreneurship, what is the one insight you would absolutely want to share?
So, I would almost say, don't do it. No, that's a joke. that's really a joke. No, I mean, I think do it sincerely. Like, what can happen? I do think that it's quite important to map your responsibilities, quite honestly. Like, I think that a lot of people see a lot of the good parts about entrepreneurship, right? That you can make your own decisions. Maybe people think that you have to work a little bit less hard because you can, you know, arrange your own time and whatnot. I think that it's really important to realize that probably from a financial perspective, you can take a step back. You can expect to take a step back if you are, you know, perhaps quitting your job. And probably you will have to work a whole lot harder and more, even though it doesn't necessarily work like that, because you do it for your own purpose, right? And for your own conviction. So that is quite definitely important. And the right connections also here. Ideally, you already know quite some people that you can speak with, right? That you can ask their advice or their opinion for. If you don't have that, that is kind of like tricky. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. I also started in this industry without knowing anyone. But I would definitely say that having a connection of people that you can trust, that you can ask advice upon if you feel that you need that, is quite important. And yeah, just do it, actually. Don't do it. Just do it. If you want, just make sure, honestly, final remark here, that whatever it is that you're building, specifically if it's a product that you want to bring to market rather than maybe a service, if it is a product, do make sure that you try to research as well as possible that there is some sort of product market fit, because there is very little worse, I think, than putting your hopes indeed and dreams and wishes into something that you're building and then bringing it to market. And then there is basically no request. That is kind of like a waste of your time and your talent and resources. So that is, yeah, a couple of the things that come to mind.
Okay, Alexandra, 21 minutes, definitely very well spent. For everyone who wants to learn more about you and Thrilled Labs, you can find all the information at thrilledlabs.io and, of course, on LinkedIn under Alexandra Overgaard. And I promise it's worth it. So thank you very much for taking part in this format, and would be happy to repeat it in several months to look where your journey is going to.
Thank you, Boris. Thank you for all you're doing as well for people and the space as a whole, and all the best. Thank you for the invite. Okay.
Thanks.
Sag öfter ja. Drei Worte, die nach diesem Gespräch noch nachwirken. Drei Aspekte nehme ich aus dem Gespräch mit Alexandra besonders mit. Erstens, relevante Verbindungen entstehen nicht von alleine, weder online noch auf Konferenzen. Sie brauchen Zeit, Absicht und den Mut, auf Menschen zuzugehen. Was Thrilled Labs adressiert, ist am Ende kein technisches Problem, sondern ein menschliches. Zweitens, nicht die Qualifikation entscheidet, sondern die Überzeugung. Alexandra ist Juristin und Politikwissenschaftlerin, keine Entwicklerin, und baut trotzdem ein Tech-Unternehmen. Also, wer die richtigen Menschen um sich schart, kann deutlich mehr umsetzen, als er zunächst denkt. Und drittens, sag öfter ja. Vielleicht die einfachste und gleichzeitig stärkste Erkenntnis aus diesem Gespräch. Wer zu viel analysiert, was schiefgehen könnte, verpasst auf das, was entstehen kann. Türen öffnen sich nicht durch Planung, sondern durch Handlung. Danke, dass du heute dabei warst. Und natürlich freue ich mich, wenn du auch bei der nächsten Folge wieder dabei bist. In diesem Sinne, auf Wiedersehen und bleib neugierig.